the 4th chapter of Luke. The Bible says in the 16th verse that he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. 17th verse, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened the book and he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus preached this among people that were unbelievers. He preached it among people that didn't believe that he was the Lord. And after he got done saying this, the most precious words that you and I could ever hear, you can see that in the 20th verse that he closed the book and he gave it to the minister. After that, he sat down and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. He speaks from his seat and says, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. The 23rd verse, and he said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. I'm concerned about what I am seeing in this last hour. I'm concerned because it's been youth night. I'm concerned for those that are not seeking God. I'm concerned for those that's overtaken in the slightest battle. I'm concerned for those that has no desire to serve God. And as I was seeking God, I was thinking about this scripture, where the Lord has anointed us to preach the gospel to the poor and also to heal the brokenhearted. There is a battle that we must fight. How many say amen? Amen. You and I are in a warfare. You and I have the ability to quench the fiery darts of Satan. You and I have the ability to see those oppressed of the devil delivered. You and I have the ability to see the kingdoms of the world destroyed. But you and I are also subject to the voice of the devil. We're in a battle tonight. And by God's help, I'm going to preach you what God has given me. As you see where Jesus said he had healed, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering sight to the blind, to set at liberty to the bruised, to press acceptable the year of the Lord. I must preach to you tonight that this is the night the Lord is calling you. You see, there was a time in that we can look back upon the elders of old and we can talk about how they had such faith in God. But that was back then. We can look over the monuments of those that have stood for righteousness and holiness. And oftentimes we say we get tired of hearing about those and what they done. But I want to tell you tonight, I could never forget Sister Ruby preaching, and I was 6 years old sitting on the seat and listening to her and was afraid to move because of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I could never forget Brother Benny standing there and holding that fist up in the air and saying, bless God, whatever God tells me to do, I'll do it. Where the wife goes, where the son goes, I'm going to go. All right. And I can remember Sister Dennis and the others standing up and speaking in tongues and saying that when they become a child of God, that even the dog knew about it. And I can remember how that I would see the elders of old, how they would seek the face of God to the point to where my grandma would talk to the people as though she was talking out of the Word of God. Grandpa would go talking about the Scriptures and you would see tears streaming down his face talking about how God had delivered him. But now we've come into the last hour of time. And now we've come to the place that God has created us for. And God's looking for somebody to stand in the gap and to make up the hedge. The gap is where Satan has found the range. But he's looking for somebody to volunteer and say that I'll stand in the gap. Until now, we've gone into the day of Jeremiah. We can look back at the prophet of old as he was known as the weeping prophet. Because when we read about Jeremiah, a lot of times all we see is him weeping and crying over the loss of the daughters of the children of Israel. But you and I have come to live in a time and a place where under God it's been taken out of the Pledge of Allegiance. Here and there we'll hear folks stand up and say, no, no, don't take it out. But never really knowing what it was there for. Because they don't know him as you know him. They don't look at him as a savior. They're looking at him as someone that will take them through their troubles regardless of their sins. Now, we have come to the time of Jeremiah. We have been in this warfare for quite some time. Some of you young people know what I'm talking about. And you elders definitely know what I'm talking about. But I want tonight to take a stroll among the tombs tonight of those that held their hands up in faith and said, regardless of what Satan says, I'm going to go through. Come on now. I'll have the anointing in my life if it takes my child. I'll have the Spirit of God in my life whether I can read or write. And as we walk among these tombs tonight, and look at these monuments that's built up, and we stand head and shoulders, amen, above what they went through, knowing that we was chosen for this time. Shouldn't we have renewed faith and honor that God has chosen us for this work? Jeremiah, in the second chapter, as you read Jeremiah a lot of times, you have a hard time telling whether it's Jeremiah talking or it's God talking. Because a lot of times he would tell him to say something. And when he would go to say it, he would speak out in the midst of it and go, oh, my Lord. He didn't want to say these things. Why didn't he? Because he was preaching by faith. He would love to have somebody in the midst of hollering out hallelujah. And he would love for somebody said if it was God, we would have felt the move of God. But he spoke these things out, knowing the voice of the Lord. It's one thing knowing him in a shout, but do you know him in the quiet times? Did you know him when you come into the house of God and we sung the congregationals? Were you able to raise your head up into the heavens and when they were singing a song and saying, God, I love you and I want you to know I worship you? Or was there sin and condemnation in your life that had blocked your view of the throne? Why are you preaching these things? First of all, because God told me to. But the second thing is because there is lost. They're dying and going to hell and slipping through our fingers. We're in a battle tonight. Are you in the Alamo? Or are you fighting a little bighorn? Are you being like Custard? All you can do is look back at defeat. All you can do is look back at your failures. Are you looking back and saying that every time? It seemed like, first of all, Custer disobeyed the first rule that he was taught at West Point, and that was never underestimate the enemy. The second thing he did, he didn't obey orders. He didn't wait on his help to come by. Until now, when you go there, there's a monument up to a man that not only lost his life, but lost 165, I believe it was, around him. 145 others around him. Too many times we looked back at the little bighorn, Custard's last stand. But I want to tell you tonight, God's looking for more than that. Because he said, I give you power over the enemy. Can you say amen? He promised the disciples in the hard time that they would have victory over Satan. Come on now. And he said that you will be endued with power from on high. That means from the midst of the throne, you can have the power that is enjoyed around the throne of God. You could be filled with the Spirit that moved upon the waters. You could be filled with the Holy Ghost. And you could have victory. Can you say amen with me tonight? You can stand brave and say whether God blesses me or not, thank God I've got the opportunity, I'll stand. Be like Davy Crockett. They told him there was no hope. He said, well, count me in anyway, to where the enemy would have to ride after the battle. They found in a diary where an enemy wrote, one man stood above the others. And we learned early in the war that whenever he stood up and he aimed, he always found his mark. Amen. He knew the circumstances of dormant. The men that wrote the Declaration of Independence that we celebrated knew what was going to happen. At the last of it, they said, we pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. They died. A lot of them went bankrupt. One was put in prison. When he got back, his wife was dead. His children was never heard of again. And yet, they wrote their name where it can be seen. John Hancock took his fortune and spent it so that the army could have weapons and died bankrupt. But he wrote it big enough for you to see it. Tonight, I'm trying to preach to you. And I'm trying to preach to your heart that there is somebody going to hell. And God was counting on you to stop it. You're old enough now to live by faith. You have learned enough to live by faith. You have read the Bible enough to where you don't have to have the shout just to keep you from one service to the next. Jeremiah, second chapter, he asked a question. 33rd verse. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Therefore hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy way. And in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all these. If you don't shake yourself, this scripture, it's going to be applied on your tombstone for all to look at. Ask a question. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Is it more important that you get a boyfriend or a girlfriend through this youth rally than it is for that soul that's going to hell? Is it more important that you be recognized if you have to slip a little bit around the corners, as the saying goes, in order to find a love, and to cause that person to scream your name out in eternity and say, why didn't you tell me? It's serious. I said it's serious. Jeremiah, weeping and crying, was looking at America by another name. You start reading through here, you see America all through it. In the 14th verse, 3rd chapter, eternal backslide children, said the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city, two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you pass according to my heart. Has God done America that way? As the president stood, have you noticed that God stuck this country in between two oceans to help the world to find Christ? Has God stuck you in the midst in the holiness church among all these others that have backslid to show them the right way? Come on now. Have you been chosen to stand here and to fight in an Alamo and say, listen, I don't care what you'll do, as we've seen those that's already went on to the reward that have lost their lives for standing for God? Are you willing to be as like Brother Marshall? To say, is that the best you can do, devil, is afflict me with heart attacks and cancers and take my job? Come on now. Is that the best you can do? Come on now. Are you willing to say, is that all you can do, Satan, is take my kids? Bless God, I'm standing here in the midst proclaiming there's a prayer meeting. I'm standing in the midst, and when they say, let's rejoice, rejoice. And when I have a song, I'll sing it. Are you going to be a Davy Crockett that says we will not allow the Catholic Church to come into America? Amen. We will not allow, we'll have a revolution to stop the Church of England from stealing our kids. And that's what it was all about. Patrick Henry stood up in the midst and testified against the clergy of the Church of England. Thomas Jefferson took the side of the Baptists against the Church of England, knowing very little about God, not even knowing how to dress. Thank God they stood with everything they knew and said, I'll pledge everything I've got, even if it takes my life. Are you listening? Are you listening tonight? I want to tell you tonight that God is dependent on you to cause somebody not to go to hell. I thought of a tragedy that Brother Keith told me a couple nights ago. A pastor and evangelist had some children that was on their way to Sunday school. I believe it was the pastor's daughter, or maybe an evangelist's daughter, I'm not sure. Hit a chuck hole, lost control of the car, and hit a tree. A holiness man. Lost both these kids. And the other one lost one of them. The other was in critical condition. I want to tell you tonight, we're in a warfare. I said we're in a warfare. But God is looking for somebody to say, thank God, I'm going to stand. I'm not going to conform to the world, but I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I'm going to be like Brother Paul. I'm going to stand there to where it could be said at the last, if I have to say it myself, thank God I have fought a good fight. I have finished. Listen to me. I have finished the course. Can you say amen? Right. I have kept the faith. Right. I will praise the Lord. Yeah. I thought about Sister Tiff the other night. I got bought it and said, I'll praise him anyhow. Yeah. Why haven't you took a hold of it? I don't know who you are. I'm pointing. You know who you are. What if you said, thank God, whether I feel it or not, I'll keep myself unspotted from the world. Now. I'm in a war. God said I could be an overcomer. There's nothing that aggravates me more than when I hear somebody tell me, you don't understand, to justify their faults. I want to tell you tonight, it's God that understands. And I want to tell you something. He's got more confidence in you than what you have in yourself. Because he made a plan that you can live. Can you say amen with me? Amen. All of you. Come on, louder. He said you can be an overcomer. You're the one that says you can't. Amen. I read this and I felt like reading tonight. How many knows John McCain, the senator? I think everybody's heard of him. He says that Mike was a Navy navigator and a bombardier who had been shot down in 1967, about 6 months before I arrived in Hanoi. He had grown up near Selma, Alabama. His family was poor. He had not worn shoes until he was 13 years old. Character was their wealth. I like that. I'm preaching to you about living by faith. Can you say amen with me?
Yeah.
I'm talking about being honest when nobody's looking. Because there's a heavenly Father that wouldn't like it. Come on now. There's things you don't want your mom to see you do because it would hurt her. There's things you don't want your dad to see. What about the Heavenly Father? Do you love Him to the point that you don't want to hurt Him? I'm preaching about a man, Jeremiah, that was in the prison. He'd feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and it was like fire in his bones. And he would preach it, but he would be cast back into the dungeon. But Mike had character as their wealth. They were good, righteous people. Senator John McCain said this. They raised Mike to be hardworking and loyal. He was 17 when he enlisted in the Navy. And as a young sailor, he showed promise of leader and impressed his superiors enough to be offered a commission. A righteous man. What package we were allowed to receive from our families often contained handkerchiefs, scarves, and other clothing items. For some time, Mike had been taking little scraps of red and white cloth. And with a needle he had fashioned from a piece of bamboo, he laboriously sewed an American flag onto the inside of his blue prisoner shirt. I fly my flag for these men. Every afternoon before we ate our soup, we would hang Mike's flag on the wall of our cell and together recite the Pledge of Allegiance. No other event of the day had as much meaning to us. The guards discovered Mike's flag one afternoon during a routine inspection and confiscated it. They were turned that evening and took Mike outside, and for our benefit as much as Mike's, they beat him severely just outside our cell. Punctured his eardrum, breaking several of his ribs. When they had finished, they dragged him bleeding and nearly senseless back into our cell, and we helped him crawl to his place on a sleeping platform. After things quieted down, we all lay down to go to sleep. Before drifting off, I happened to look toward a corner of the room where one of the four naked light bulbs that were always illuminated in our cell cast a dim light on Mike Christian. He had crawled there quietly when he thought the rest of us were sleeping. With his eyes nearly swollen shut from the beating, he had quietly picked up his needle and thread and began sewing a new flag. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Let's go to another scripture. Romans, first chapter. He starts out. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. In heaven, there is preparations for you. Can you say amen? In heaven, everyone is predestinated. Come on now. Do you believe in predestination? Yes, I do. Because God made a plan for every person that's ever been born to go there. You were predestined for heaven. You were predestined for rewards. And Paul said, I was called to be an apostle. I'm not preaching to babes. I'm preaching to adults in the faith. You can say that I don't know, but you're lying. Because you know the Spirit of God. You know the holiness of living. Can you say amen, young people? One more time. Can you say amen, young people? God has called you, as we prayed so long ago, for folks to fill the gap of those that went on and got their reward. And as you walk through the monuments and look at the saints of God that are gone, why don't you say, Lord, I want to have that same spirit. I want the same anointing that when they threw the rocks, that I thank God I was ready to praise Him anyhow. And the glory of God come by. I want to be able to say, God, when I've lost my car, my house, and have no income, that I could say, thank God I love you. And a morsel of bread will come by my way, even if it was brought by a raven. Amen. Do we make it any harder? Yes. Because God knows you can handle it. Are you listening? Is there a Job here among us? Is there a Job here among us to where God can look at the devil and say, there's somebody that will not reject my name, even though I take their children and their living and afflict them with sores? Is there somebody that's going to be honored in heaven to the point to where there's going to be such shouting and rejoicing for you taking a stand? Come on now. Is there a Paul here among us? Is there a Peter there among us? I know we got a lot of Peters. I've seen all of your temper. Amen. I hope to God there's no Judases among us. In the 16th verse of that first chapter, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I love the shout. I love the presence of the Holy Ghost. You do too. But is that the only thing keeping you going? Come on now. I'm not trying to unchristianize nobody. I'm not trying to take away what the Lord is doing. What I'm trying to ask you is, are you able to say, by your grace, thank God, I'm going to be a child of God? Are you? You've heard peace and prosperity so long that you've imagined that's all that's going to happen. I'll get religious for a little while, but God, you did better. I want to tell you tonight, you don't tell God anything. God don't owe you any favors. I mean, say amen tonight. But you love Him and serve Him, and He'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing if you pay your tithes that you can't contain. Money alone won't do it, but the peace of God will. Money alone has not kept the Hollywood starlet from committing suicide. Money alone has not kept the millionaire from jumping out the window. But the peace of God has kept those that was living in the dirt and on the side of the street or under the bridge with such joy and peace in their life and in the midst of a jail cell to where a senator would take notice that that was a Christian. And because of that, he said, when I get out of here, I'm going to become something for this country. For the wrath of God is revealed unto heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth and unrighteousness. He goes on, 21st verse, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Talking about those that had turned and rejected Him, the children of Israel over in Rome. Neither were thankful, but become vain in their imagination, and a foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. And it goes on. Because of this, they changed the glory of an uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. How many knows that it's been taught to worship Mother Earth? Amen. Whether you know it or not, if you've got a TV, you become a slave to it. You are nothing more than a slave. Because they tell you what they want you to know. You'll do what Hollywood tells you to do. You'll do what the media tells you to do. I'm preaching to the young people. I want to tell you tonight, not to conform to this world, but to be transformed. Smarter men than you sat around and figured out how to get your attention by the TV. And that is why that mothers are murdering their little babies. And that is why they look at you with hatred. Come on now. Are you going to live it? That is why that in the midst of our malls that the women wear clothes so tight to reveal lust. And I've seen it creep into the holiness churches. They'll wear their dresses or their pants or their shorts so tight that they desire you to lust. They have become nothing more than a common slave. Amen. All they're walking around doing is negotiating the price. Come on, it's quiet here. You know I'm telling you the truth. If you reveal yourself, all you're doing is asking for Satan to bring a price by that'll satisfy you. You say, would you do it for a dollar or $10? You say, no. Would you do it for $100 million? Well, maybe. You've already told what you were. You're just negotiating a price. Satan come by, and he sends the right person along. Are you going to cast away what God has given you? I'm preaching what God told me to preach tonight. Because there is a war that's going to sweep you under if you don't get a hold of God and start reaching for the souls that's lost. You're related to them. Are you weeping because they're going to hell? Oh, Brother Jeff, are going somewhere else to church. I said, are you weeping for them because they're going to hell? You say you judge them? No, the Bible judged them. Are you weeping for them? He's dependent on you. He goes on and tells who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creator or creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. And he goes on and says, because of that, the 26th verse, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural youth into that which is against nature. I'm preaching to you young people tonight. And likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. I want to tell you tonight, if you don't get a hold of God, you could wind up like this. Because God will give you up. Are you listening? It's a serious thing. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. You can go on and read how they what they'll become. Backbiters, haters of God, spiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, Then you can go to the 11th verse, 2nd chapter, for there is no respect of persons with God. I have preached you the truth. I would to God, as I was down weeping and praying and seeking the face of God and the Holy Ghost come by, that I could have preached something that would have caused you to look toward heaven and say, thank God, I'm glad to be a child of God. But it wouldn't have sufficed you for the battle. You are looking at the flags. You're looking at the glory. You're marching the parade ground. Everybody's beating the drums. Listen to me tonight. As the brother says so often, anybody can be a soldier on the parade ground. But you're not looking at the war. You're turning away from it. I'm not ready to handle that. You know why you're saying that? It's because you don't know who you're serving. Can you say amen with me tonight? How many knows I'm preaching you the truth? Amen. It's not whether you like me or not. That I'm not concerned about. What I'm concerned about is you make it the kingdom of God and do this youth rally that we see some people pray through. It's not here for games. We're not here in order to have a good time. We're here to see souls saved. And God's looking for you to be honored in that way. Oh, if I could just open my heart to you. But it's up to you. Jeremiah would weep and cry, but he couldn't get through to him. Are you going to be like that? I don't think so. I don't think so. I'm looking for more tears to stand up. Come on now. I'm looking for more of you all to decide to be godly as Christ is. And to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Not caring what the world thinks about it. Not concerned about Satan and his pride. But humble your heart down to the point where you're beautiful in the gates of heaven. Let's stand tonight. I wish you all would read Jeremiah. But more than that, I wish you'd make an effort to change your life. Sister Joyce said it one night, I just don't want to be blessed. I want to be changed. You are miserable if you don't have a changed life. You know I'm preaching the truth. You're miserable because you're a soldier out to win, regardless of what Satan throws at you. But if you don't do it, you're going to be miserable all your life until there'll come a point where God will say, that's enough. All of us of my age group can look at those that walk in the same steps as we see some of you walking and seeing that where after a while God said that's enough. We wept. We cried. We begged God. He would deal with them and they would come to the house of God. But after a while, God took the burden away from us. What are you trying to say? He will not allow His children to be afflicted by a stubborn heart. Read it for yourself. Read it for yourself. If you're a problem and you're causing a child of God to be in despair, after a while, He'll move that problem. He'll take it out of their heart. There is those that I don't even think of anymore because God has lifted a burden. We'll talk among ourselves and say, have you ever thought about so-and-so? No, never give them a thought. Why is it? What do you think it is? It's because they have chose to reject God. This is hard preaching. I don't expect you to digest it on overnight. In fact, I'd be disappointed if you did. But I'm preaching to you what God told me to preach. He is counting on you. He's already paid the price. He's already had saints of God to pray for you. It's up to you. Let's gather around the altar tonight. It's up to you. Don't go around trying to please your pastor. Don't go around trying to please your youth leader. Why don't you try to please God, and that will please the pastor and the youth leader? Come on, let's gather around and pour our heart out to God. Not for tonight, but for all nights, all generations. Let's cry out to Him tonight. Let's pour our heart out to Him tonight and say, God, I just don't want blessed. I want changed and purpose in Your. That you're going to live, and if you'll do it, He'll stand by your side and He'll quench the fiery darts of the devil so that you can get to where He wants you to go.